the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Thanks, Jamie, for reading. I'm very grateful for this wonderful privilege to be bringing God's word this morning. And so let's pray and ask for God's help. Lord, we thank you once again for gathering us this morning. Father, to hear your word and to fellowship together. Lord, I ask that you would speak your word this morning clearly to us. I ask that you help me to be faithful to what you're saying. I ask for clarity, and I ask for understanding. I ask that, Father, your name will be glorified, that we'll see Jesus, that would want to follow him more deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been given the most important work in the world. You've been given the most important work in the world. I know perhaps some of you are thinking, oh, I already knew that. I'm a doctor. I help people live healthy lives. Maybe some of you this morning are thinking, I'm a lawyer. My work surely is the most important. I help people avoid legal troubles. But the work I'm talking about this morning is the work that Paul committed himself to. It's the work that Jesus, his disciples, and countless number of Christians throughout the centuries have given themselves to. It is the work of evangelism. It is the most important work in the world because it's the only work in the world that helps people live happy forever. And this work has been given to every Christian. And it's evangelism that I want to talk to you about today. My goal is not to make you feel guilty, because guilt, we all know, is a weak motivator. My prayer and hope is that through this passage that has been read this morning, is that you'll be inspired to make evangelism your life work. My prayer is that you will prioritize the salvation of other people by doing whatever it takes. You see, sacrificial service of others is the mark of the true Christian. While the world encourages self-gratification and pursuing our own dreams, sometimes or even often at the expense of other people, God calls us to seek the eternal good of all people. The passage that has been read this morning is a continuation of Paul's thoughts, which began in chapter 8, on the issue of food offered to idols. The Corinthian church was marked by selfishness. Many in the Corinthian church were selfishly going to the idol temples of their day and buying and eating food that was offered to idols without regard as to how other people perceived them. This action of theirs led to those who Paul calls weaker Christians, those who believe that eating offered to idols was wrong, their conscience did not allow them to do that, to stumble. Their faith was compromised as they watched fellow Christians eat food offered to idols. Therefore, Paul appeals to the Corinthians that although their position is theologically right, since there is only one God after all, eating foods offered to idols is okay. Idols are not real anyways. However, because their action was making other Christians for whom Jesus died for stumble, what they were doing was wrong. It was unloving. The Corinthians were holding on to their right. And Paul says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Paul shows the Corinthians an example, his example of how he gives up his rights for the sake of others. At Corinth, when Paul went there, he chose to give up his right of being paid as a minister. He says that from the Old Testament, that's something that God has prescribed, that those who do the work of the gospel should be paid, should earn from the work they are doing. But Paul chose to forego that right of his because he deeply cared about the Corinthians. Because because for the Corinthians, for Paul to get his payment from them, it would be problematic. It would hinder the gospel. Paul gave up his right. And so Paul would end up doing manual labor. He worked as a tent maker. And at Corinth, people who did manual labor were despised. So Paul perhaps was despised by many at Corinth as he went about his work. But Paul goes on to give another example of himself to the Corinthians for them to imitate. The example is that of making himself a servant to others for the sake of their salvation. And it is this example that my sermon is going to focus on. So this morning, we're going to be looking at 2 points. Number one, serve others by seeking their salvation. And number two, set your sight on your reward in eternity. So point one, serve others by seeking their salvation. Paul says that although he's free from all people, he's not a slave of anyone, but he has made himself a servant to all people. Again, I just want you to look at verse 19 to 22, the verses that have been read to us. I'll read them once again. He says, For though I'm free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. You see, Paul made himself a servant to these different groups of people. He did it by adopting their lifestyles, as long as they did not contradict the gospel truth that he believed in. He became like them. We see this a few examples through the book of Acts. At one point, Paul takes a couple of his friends and they go to the Jewish temple and they go through a Jewish ritual. One time he had to convince his friend Timothy, who was half Jewish and half Gentile, to get circumcised for the sake of the Jews so that they would receive them both. You see, this morning I wonder who are all these the different groups of people for us here in Chicago. Maybe a group of people in our neighborhood that is so different from us, who are so different from us that we were even tempted to look down on them. To become all things to all people doesn't mean, for example, to get drunk so that we can become like the drunkards. But it might look like getting a drink for the sake of others who drink, and of course not getting drunk. I know a couple, even in this congregation, who have made a practice of inviting their homeless neighbors to their home as they invite them to some of the dinners they have. And I know some, even in this congregation, who have deliberately chosen to live in a deprived part of Chicago for the sake of others. They have given up their right to what we might call a safe neighborhood in order to reach others. There are others here also who have opened up their homes to international students, and embrace and even learned about their cultures for the sake of the gospel. Paul says he became all things in order to all people in order to win them to Jesus Christ. Paul uses the word win 4 times in this passage. For Paul, he was not ashamed to talk about the working towards the conversion of other people. We might find this language of winning people as perhaps a little bit awkward or even strange today, because maybe there are people who have misused it. We also find it a little strange because maybe it sounds like we're the ones doing the saving. But Paul, more than anyone else, believed that God alone saves. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Paul believed more than anyone that God had to do the work of opening people's eyes before they can behold who Jesus is. But he was also aware that God uses human instruments to bring people the gospel. Paul's motivation was simply the salvation of all people. Paul passionately cared about the salvation of other people. He was willing to do whatever it took for them to hear the gospel and for them to put their trust in Jesus. Again, look at how Paul puts his aim in verses 22 to 23. He says, "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." Paul's aim was clear. He wanted to see people delivered from the wrath of God. He wanted to see people pardoned by God, their sins washed away, given a new life by Jesus. He wanted to have them enjoy the relationship that he enjoyed with God as their Father. He wanted them to be given to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit from above, to become God, to be part of God's family, the church, to become heirs of the future coming new creation, to know the love of God, and to one day overcome death. Imagine for a moment with me, Paul coming to Corinth. Perhaps he knows maybe a few people in the city, but he deeply longs to see Corinthians know Jesus. Maybe he goes to the Jewish synagogue and he reasons with the Jews. He tells them that Jesus is the Messiah that was promised, their Messiah that was promised from the Old Testament. Pleads with them to receive him. Imagine Paul going from house to house, getting to know people, asking them who they are, learning about their culture, eating their foods, asking questions, and then telling them about the scriptures, and then going to work as a tent maker. While he's working there, a Greek customer comes. He wants to buy a tent, but Paul engages him in conversation. He asks him, "Have you heard of Jesus?" And the man tells, "I've never heard of this Jesus. Who is he?" And then Paul continues in conversation and goes in to tell him about Jesus. And then he tells him, he pleads with him, "Believe in Jesus." You can imagine Paul doing this over and over and over again. Paul's aim was clear. So for Paul, going through the pain of adopting other people's culture or giving up his own rights was not easy, but it was absolutely worth it. It was not easy for Paul to become a servant of others. It's not easy for those who have chosen to live in a neighborhood that perhaps the culture is different from their own. It gets uncomfortable. You see, our natural inclination is not to serve, but to desire others to serve us. But Paul was walking in the footsteps of his master, of his Lord Jesus Christ, who said in Mark chapter 10, 45, that he did not come to be served, but to serve. And notice what Paul says as to what is his motivation in 23. He says, "I do it all for the sake of the gospel, Paul made all these sacrifices because of the gospel. For Paul, the gospel wasn't some ideas out there that had no relevance to his life. The gospel was the engine that propelled his actions. The gospel was what motivated his decisions. Paul lived a gospel-centered life, and it was the gospel that ruled Paul's life. But what is this gospel? And Paul has a really good definition of the gospel at the end of this book, letter of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15. He begins by saying that this gospel is of first importance. It is the first important thing. And he says that this gospel is the good news about what God has done in his Son, Jesus Christ, through his death for the forgiveness of sinners, and by his subsequent resurrection by which he defeated death. This gospel has brought the glorious hope of a future resurrection available to all who would believe. This is the gospel that had grasped Paul's life. And this is the same gospel that you and I, if you're a Christian this morning, that we have the privilege to proclaim. This was the primary motivation for Paul's life and ministry. And so it made sense that he would give up his rights. It made sense that he would care so much about those who did not know Jesus. Because Paul saw that in the gospel, what the gospel brought was, it was infinitely more satisfying compared to pursuing his own pleasure. And we cannot live like Paul. We cannot live like servants for the sake of other people's salvation until we've been captured, until our hearts have been captured by the gospel. So Paul tells the Corinthians these things with the aim that they would imitate him. That's what he says in chapter, you don't have to look, but in chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." So Paul was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and he was asking for the Corinthians to follow him as he followed Jesus. And we too are called to imitate Paul. You see, you and I live in a world that is obsessed with fulfilling our own dreams, living for ourselves. But the world tells us to do that. Christ calls us to follow his example by living not for ourselves, but for the sake of others. He calls us to carry our cross and to deny ourselves and follow him. And Jesus epitomized this mindset. You see, we've been thinking about Christmas. And Jesus, who came from the riches of heaven, he left the riches of heaven and exchanged them for the poverty of earth. He became the servant, the lowliest of servants. He did the unimaginable, dying on the cross for our sin. But he did that. He died for us that we might be accepted by God and become one of his own. And he calls us to imitate him, to become servants of others for the sake of their eternal joy. One of the most influential biographies I've ever read is the one of pioneer missionary to China, a man called Hudson Taylor. He was known for adopting to Chinese culture and ways of dressing. Because of his approach, many of those he was ministering to, serving, were able to listen to him because they discerned how much he cared for them. It's a good example of someone who gave up his own rights for the sake of others. And I wonder for us this morning, what might this look like for us to adopt other people's ways of living, perhaps, in order to reach them with the gospel? What sacrifices need to be made for others to be saved? Evangelism is not popular in our culture today. So many people think of sharing, of those who share their faith as bigots. They think they are proud. They would rather that people keep their mouths shut and keep their own faith private. Since they believe, after all religions are equal, they argue, it is even immoral to try to convert someone to your own. And so as a result, many Christians have shut their mouths They are afraid of being counted among the bigots. And in fact, many have now believed that it's actually wrong to try to share your faith or even to try to persuade someone to follow Jesus. And some have even said that all we should do is just live a good life among non-Christians. And after all, maybe they will ask us questions. And then maybe once they ask us questions, we can tell them about Jesus. And that is important. Paul believed that living a good life among non-believers was important for the sake of our witness. But it was not a substitute for actually wanting to share the gospel and even intending to do so. Paul was deliberate in seeking to share the gospel with non-believers. And Jesus did the same also. He was unashamedly seeking to win people to Christ. But we can't effectively share the gospel with those that we don't know well. See, one of the most important acts of love to others is to help others escape the horrors of hell and inherit the glories of the new creation. So we need to remind ourselves that winning others to Jesus is one of the most loving things we can ever do. To have the gospel and to keep it to ourselves is the most unloving thing we can do. To be indifferent to the perishing souls of humanity is not to have the heart of Jesus, who said that he came to seek and save that which was lost. We are to imitate Paul and imitate Jesus by having the salvation of others as our goal. And I know this will look different in each of our lives. I know someone who, at their office, whenever people ask him how their weekend was, he tells them about something he had about a church. He tells them how he was encouraged by a verse or by a truth that he had at church. I also know those who have invited their colleagues to come to church so that they can hear the gospel. It will look different. We do not have to become experts in evangelism. And I know some of us, perhaps many people, have believed this idea that we need to have all people's answers before we can talk to them about Jesus. But the truth is, we will never have all the answers. We will never do. And if we wait to have all the answers, then we'll never tell nobody about Jesus. So why should we sacrifice by seeking to see other people saved? Why does this matter? Paul's answer is that we are looking forward to an eternal reward. And so point to set your sight on your reward in eternity. Look with me at verse 24 to 27 once again. And Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Paul compares the Christian life to a race. He says that Christians should run in order to obtain the prize. He's not saying that only one person will get the prize, but he's saying and he's encouraging us to run as those whose aim is to obtain it, to win. You know, we've heard of stories of athletes who will train perhaps 10 months before they go to run a marathon, making sacrifices as to what they eat and their lifestyle because they want to win the prize. You see, in Paul's time at Corinth, the person who won the race would be given a crown made up of some sort of flowers, and they would wither that, but they would wither that by the next day. But Paul says that Christians are waiting to receive an imperishable crown in eternity. But what is the prize that for which Christians ought to exercise self-control, to run in order to obtain? The crown that Christians must work to obtain is the souls of people who will be saved for all eternity. This is the price for which Paul made himself a servant to all people. We should work to see others in heaven with us. For us, it's easier to focus on things that are here and now, things that we can see. But things in the future can seem a little bit irrelevant sometimes. They're far off. However, the Bible calls us to be future-focused, to have our lives shaped by the future reality. So to focus on the salvation of others is to focus on something eternal, something that will last. The famous preacher, the English preacher Charles Spurgeon, when addressing the subject of soul winning, he once wrote, "If God shall bless us to the winning of souls, our work shall remain when the wood and hay and stubble of art and science shall have gone to the dust from which they sprang." Paul is not saying that we shouldn't care about things that won't last or things that are just in this world. He wants us to make sure that we prioritize the salvation of individuals, people for whom Jesus died, things that will outlast all others. Through the gospel, those who trust in Jesus will be raised from the dead and given new bodies, never to die again. You and I, don't we want to be part of something that will last, something that is bigger, much bigger than ourselves? Then we have to work for the salvation of others. So to focus on evangelism really is to be in the business of helping people live happy forever, to care about all other things in this world and not to care about winning people to Christ, is to be terribly short-sighted that we are almost blind. We'll be more earnest and urgent in our evangelism when we focus on the future. This is what also motivated Paul. The crown is imperishable, so he says he is self-controlled. He seeks to be self-controlled. And even for us, we shouldn't just do what comes easy to us. We need to go against our natural inclinations to selfishness, to apathy, to preserving our own reputation, and just the desire to be liked. And for those who get serious about telling people about Jesus, they are often, you know, people will call you names. It may not be as easy to be liked. But Paul is saying that because Christians are waiting for an eternal future, we should really make sacrifices now. We should put the gospel first and seek the salvation of other people instead of our own comforts. I can assure you this one thing, that when we meet the Lord in eternity, it won't matter how much money we made. It won't matter how much worth our house was. But it will matter infinitely the joy of those who will be in heaven because of us. We'll share in their joy. We shall see behind us those that are there because we denied ourselves. As we look behind us, we shall see those that are there because we persevered, those that are there because we prayed, because we loved, and because we befriended, those that are there because we embraced awkward conversations, those that are there because we invited them to our homes and felt uncomfortable and rejected, but we did it again. Those that are there because even when we wrestled with our own doubts and our own pain, we still loved them. And we told them about Jesus, the one who was to one day appear. We will say to ourselves, it was worth it. It was worth it. As we have many goals in life, whether it's obtaining an education or getting into shape or saving for retirement, finding a new job and so forth, I want to encourage you to make the salvation of others your goal. Don't seek to inherit the new heavens and the new earth. If you're a Christian this morning by yourself, seek to see others with you. Do whatever it takes to save others, not because you save, but because God uses us as his instruments, weak as we might be. Live with the salvation of others as your goal. Make decisions that put you in strategic situations to see other people saved. Don't go ahead to live for yourselves, because at the end, this life is short. It will end. Then the new creation and eternity, that is long and is far better. We are all surrounded by people who need to hear the gospel desperately. Our colleagues at work, our neighbors, our friends, and our family. And God has put us there for a reason. God has given us work to do. We have work to do. And God has given you and I, indeed, the most important work in the world. To work together with Jesus. Because he is seeking and saving the lost. And Paul says that he disciplines his own body. He keeps it under control, exercising self-control to give up one his own rights and to become like others in order to win them to Jesus is hard work. Instead of having his body to master him, Paul masters it. He literally makes his body his slave in service to God. Paul does it to make sure that he himself is not disqualified. Look again at verse 27. He says, "But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." I believe that what Paul means here is that if he allowed himself to just keep living a self-indulgent life for himself, that at the end, it would prove that he was never a Christian. He's not afraid to lose his salvation, but for those who continue to live a life that does not consider others, does not love other people, does not seek to follow the example of Jesus, in the end, it will be proof that they were never Christians. And so this is a warning for us. So how will you live? Will you make sacrifices in order to see other people saved for all eternity? Or will you live for yourself as people descend to hell? You see, you and I have a choice to make. We are invited to participate in the most important work in the world. As God is saving people, as he calls himself, he calls them to follow him. He's working and he's never stopped. And he has invited us to participate in this work. It won't be easy, but it will be worth it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have the gospel, the good news about Jesus. We thank you that you have saved us, those who trust in Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that you would have us as your instruments to proclaim your gospel. Father, we know that we have that inclination, Father, to seek to serve ourselves and not to care deeply about other people. But we praise you that you've given us your spirit, who is changing us, who is making us more like Jesus, and we ask for that this morning. Lord, we ask it for ourselves, we ask it for your glory, we ask it for the sake of our neighbors, for the sake of our family, we ask it for those that we will meet in the future. We ask that you would use us wherever we go to care deeply about others who don't know you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.